Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Joining us on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulk. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. My team, as you predicted, is in the World Series, but the Cardinal way lost its way last night. We're hoping for better results in Game 2 as we do this interview.
Well, I think, Mickey, you know, by the time listeners and followers of you actually get to this interview, the Cardinals will be in a lot better shape. And I don't know, I'll go out on a limb right now, Mickey, if you won't. Now, I will predict the Cardinals will win the World Series. I think it's going to be a long series, though. Don't you get that feeling?
Well, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I have tickets lined up for games 3, 4, and 5, and I'm on the road tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we have another toxic metal in the hopper for listeners. Last time out, Mickey, it was thallium number 81 on the periodic table. On the menu this time out, polonium number 84 on the table. Nasty stuff, highly radioactive, discovered in the late 1800s. Fill us in on the history and the characteristics.
Well, as you stated, it's number 84. Tellurium would be above it, bismuth to the left, and astatine, which we talked about a long time ago briefly, is to the right. So we're at this part of the periodic table where we are very heavy metals, and they tend to be radioactive. Mm-hmm. Polonium was discovered in 1898 by the Curies. As they took radioactive uranium ore, they extracted the uranium, they extracted the thorium, and it got more and more radioactive. The next element they discovered would be polonium, named after Poland. Madame Curie was Polish. It was a political statement because at the time, Poland was not an independent country. And then to its right is the next one they discover would be radium, and mm-hmm. And that's what they're most famous for. It is very rare in the Earth's crust. The current production is about 100 grams per year, and that comes mainly from the Russians.
Okay, now it has 33 known isotopes, I believe, all of which are radioactive. Give us an idea, Mickey, as to how radioactive polonium is compared to, say, uranium.
Well, it's extremely radioactive. It has extremely short half-lives. The most common isotope is polonium-210. It has one of the longer half-lives at 138 days. It emits alpha particles. It is especially toxic because it's easily vaporized and it becomes airborne at low temperature. Mm-hmm. So it's a dangerous substance. It has to be handled in a double glove box. It is has a few uses, not much production, but it does have a few uses.
Okay, well, I know that many of the basic physics of polonium at one time certainly considered classified information, at least until after World War II, and certainly for good reason. It was part of the Manhattan Project, also used in one of the bombs dropped on Japan in World War II.
Well, that's correct. It was critical in the early days as an initiator in early implosion-type atomic bombs. For example, Fat Man used at Nagasaki. These detonators are called urchins, and it's basically a polonium-beryllium center surrounded by the plutonium pit. So these implosion bombs, they reach criticality, and the initiation of the explosion is by these polonium-beryllium detonators. It was classified until the 1960s, as you alluded to. Mm-hmm. It does have a few minor uses, used in satellites occasionally for as radioactive thermal generators, so allowing satellites to function at night without sunlight. It's used in the aforementioned neutron triggers for bombs, Those would be polonium oxide, beryllium oxide alloys. It's also used as a neutron source in oil well logging and for removal of electrostatic charges prior to substrate coatings, for instance, in painting automobiles.
Mm. And as if we need another reason to not smoke, Mickey, and my goodness, the more interviews I do with you, I'm just happy I quit smoking many years ago. Polonium has been found in tobacco smoke from tobacco leaves grown with phosphate fertilizers.
Well, that's true, and it is long-term chronic doses are often, because we've already alluded to the fact that it is easily volatilized, indoor radon is a problem. So if you live in a hermetically sealed house made out of some rock material, specifically something derived from granite or something, it could be a problem, and then tobacco smoking. Fatal doses are very small. It's considered very dangerous. Less than 1 microgram ingested, inhaled, or absorbed. It's got no biological role, but it is very widespread in the biosphere. Although it's very rare in terms of its content in the Earth crust, it permeates the biosphere because it's a natural decay product. Is uranium-238 goes to lead-206, which is the final decay product that's not radioactive.
Okay,
it's present in all humans, and it basically substitutes for sulfur, which sits 2 rows above it in the periodic table.
Okay, now you mentioned how an extremely minute amount of this stuff can be deadly. In our last show on thallium, we mentioned that thallium was sometimes referred to as the poisoner's poison or inheritance powder. Polonium has got a bit of a track record in this regard, too. A Russian dissident in 2006.
Well, it certainly does.
Yeah.
And one of the first known cases was in 1945, and that would be Pierre and Madame Curie's daughter died. She had an accidental polonium explosion in her lab, and she ended up dying of leukemia a short time later. The Israelis, when they were surreptitiously trying to develop the atomic bomb from 1957 to 1969, several scientists died of leukemia from polonium poisoning. More recently, there is great suspicion that Yasser Arafat received a fatal dose of polonium in 2004. There's suspicion that was planted by the Israelis. As often in these kind of spy intrigues or geopolitical intrigues, the Swiss say, yes, he died of polonium poisoning. The Russians say unequivocally, no, he did not. And then there's another Russian dissident, KGB turncoat named Litvinenko, who was killed by polonium poisoning in 2006.
Quite the story on polonium, Mickey. In wrapping up, anything further you wanted to add?
Well, we'll end up with an anecdote. People that read, I'm a voracious reader, will recognize the name, I think, of Frederick Forsyth, or even maybe moviegoers. He wrote, his first novel was Day of the Jackal. Also famous for Dogs of War, which is about mercenaries. Day of the Jackal was about a guy trying to assassinate de Gaulle in the 60s. One of his books and subsequent books is called The Fourth Protocol. And the plot is the Russians are using a polonium initiator to create a small-scale dirty bomb in England with the idea that they could turn all English against nuclear, and they permeated the left wing of Labour Party. But anyway, the science is very flawed in that. They have polonium discs that a bunch of people are handling, and with no bad results. And as often with Forsyth's book, the protagonist in this ends up as a pawn in the machinations of the spies in charge on both sides.
Okay, flawed science perhaps, but still a pretty entertaining, great read.
Yeah, it is, and I know there's a movie out. I think John Voight, it's probably dates from the early 1980s, and John Voight played the lead role.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that. No, Mickey, we're going to reconnect in a couple of weeks. What do you want to touch on then?
Well, I think we've exhausted the really toxic metals, so mm-hmm. Now we're gonna spin off into some metals that are critical for modern-day technology, electronics especially.
Mm-hmm.
They're called doping agents because they contribute to a larger product, and some people will recognize the names as we get into them: gallium, germanium, tellurium, etc. We're going to start with gallium, and we're going to talk about doping agents for a few weeks here.
Okay, sounds like a fascinating subject. And when we reconnect in a couple of weeks, hopefully they'll be World Series champions once again. Thanks a lot, Mickey.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.